Okay. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. This will be a filing away for the for the future. Has to do with preaching. On Wednesday, I preached, and opening illustration was actually from a lesson that I did in, we did some sermon seminars in Albuquerque, and if you remember it, is they had a F-15 crash in Libya, and when they investigated it, it was because of a computer malfunction. They had one wing was carrying 1,000 more pounds than the other wing, so it was imbalanced. And when the pilot tried to pull up, instead of pulling up, it went into a spin, and the plane crashed. They were able to eject, but the plane was plane crashed. So this I'm applying in the realm of preaching. This becomes a very, very important issue in the realm of preaching. In the scripture that we're going to read, it speaks about the ministry of Jesus Christ, and it is contrasting with the Pharisees or the old system of law, and it says that Jesus' ministry, in contrast to them, it says two different elements, that he was full of grace and truth. So there was, in fact, a balance in his ministry. And so this is very true in preaching. We're going to talk about balance in preaching. Want to get some scriptures? Neil, can you get John 1, 14 through 17? Lon, can you get Hosea 7, 8? Hosea 7, 8. Ethan, Matthew 27:5. Where are we at? Adam Asplin, John 1:14. Corey, Proverbs 27:23. And David Sanchez, Isaiah 50:4. Okay, let's read about the ministry of Jesus Christ. John 1:14-17.
And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ."
Okay, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth, very important phrase there, was given through Jesus Christ. Okay, let's talk about the problem of imbalance. And one of the things that we understand is that human beings, they have a tendency toward imbalance. This is built into human nature. It was Martin Luther who said most people are like drunken peasants. They're falling off one side of the donkey or the other. And that is often true. Hosea 7, verse 8.
Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake unturned.
A cake unturned, or in other translations, he's like a pancake cooked on only one side. So it's speaking about imbalance in some ways. And so this really can be true in the realm of preaching, in the realm of truth. So I want you to notice that truth can often have two different sides, and those sides actually seem to oppose each other. Grace and truth, which we'll go into in a little more detail now. So let's think about the imbalance of truth for a moment. So let's talk first of all about things that are true. So truth, in general, obviously this would be the whole counsel of God, But think about things that are true, and we can apply this in preaching. You can have preaching that focuses on things that are true, which is human failings. There are things wrong with you. That is true. There are things you need to do in life, responsibilities. That is true. So the problem in preaching is that it becomes very easy to make your preaching emphasis be all about truth. And especially if, for guys who are not well-trained in finding revelation anywhere in the Bible, what they tend to do is they look around. It's very easy. No matter how big your church is, you look around and you see somebody and by golly, there's somebody, they gossip. So I'm going to preach on gossip. That's true. Shouldn't gossip. That's true. Right? There's some people that are missing prayer. I'm going to preach on prayer. Stuff you need to do. And so every sermon is like this. More stuff. You know, this morning you're going to hear stuff you need to do. And come tonight, you're going to hear more stuff you need to do. This morning is going to be stuff that's wrong with you. And come tonight, there'll be more things that are wrong with you. And that's the sole focus of that. As a matter of fact, there are guys that take pride in this. They even will comment about their preaching. You know, well, I call it like I see it. I'm a straight shooter. You know, or I fried them. I got in their face. And they're taking pride in the truth emphasis of preaching. On the other side, you can have an imbalance of grace. We understand I'm taking grace here, not as power, but grace as the unmerited favor or the love of God. Listen to this quote. The biggest church in the country is Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. Pastor Joel Osteen preaches to some 25,000 people each week. And listen to this. Sin is not on the menu. Osteen said his goal is to give people a boost for the week. Right? So you think that's his, my job in preaching is give people a boost for the week. I think for years there's been a lot of hellfire and damnation. You go to church to figure out what you're doing wrong. You leave feeling bad, like you're not going to make it. We believe in focusing on the goodness of God. Okay, the goodness of God is another revelation of God. But what this man says is, that is what I focus. He won't ever tell you what you're doing wrong. He's only going to tell you how good God is and how you can make it and you're a winner and your best life now and on and on. Both of those are imbalanced. If all of your preaching is truth preaching, and I mean human failings, human responsibilities, or all of your preaching or the bulk of your preaching is grace preaching, both of those are imbalanced. And then I'll just throw in, you just take note of this for the future, that there are certain subjects. There are guys that get on hobby horses. They love to preach certain subjects. Two subjects to me that produce imbalance. Number one is prophecy. Very easy. You need to have small doses of prophecy. And that's very, very good. but there are guys that they get on a prophecy. This is their thing. I mean, they're preaching prophecy every week. And so what happens is that you get in people who take in constant everything as they're looking at, you know, the barcodes, could be the 666. And so what happens is that you get people to where they start looking at life, everything is a conspiracy of the Antichrist. Everything in life, they want to, you know, you get your baby vaccinated, that's actually a plot of the Antichrist. You know what they're doing? They're trying to deliberately give your kids autism. You can't live life like that. Okay? You know, there's no hope for the world. That's what happens, I find, if prophecy is overemphasized. This, the second thing is politics. And politics is maddening. When you see the corruption and agendas in politics, if you will notice in my preaching, I rarely mention politics. That is very deliberate. And the reason why is that I have seen churches to where they get a steady and a heavy dose of politics. You know, when you're pointing out the wickedness of abortion-loving, tax-and-spend, welfare-promoting politicians, what I see is that people do not imbibe that and love sinners. What they do is they start hating anybody, by golly, who would vote for an abortion-loving, tax-and-spend, you know, welfare-promoting politician. Then you're, so, well, you're consigning a whole bunch of people to hell if it's based on voting preference. Okay, and so that's just two subjects I see that need to be very sparing, especially on the political end. So let's talk about the need for balance. So why is this important? Because imbalance is unhealthy. Just like that F-15 went down because it was imbalanced. Imbalanced preaching produces imbalanced people, and that's very unhealthy. Number one, it produces despair. Matthew 27:5.
And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went, and hanged himself.
Okay, so Judas, he hangs himself. This is not an exaggeration. I have worked in sermon seminars, and you know, where I'll have a thought, and I'm trying to get input from pastors, and this scripture. I've had guys, they want to bring this scripture up all the time. It's like, you know, there's some people, we're dealing with an issue and you're not doing wrong. You got an example of scripture we can use? Yeah, Judas hanged himself. Like, wow, that's okay. And, you know, and a little bit later on, you got the other scripture. Yeah, the ground opened up and swallowed Korah alive. It's like, we could use that scripture, but... So what this scripture is talking about is Judas saw no hope. Despair caused him to make a bad decision. So, if you emphasize and emphasize and emphasize human failings, human responsibilities, more stuff that's wrong with you, more stuff you're not doing right, thinking that there's going to come a day where it's like, folks, I don't even need to preach tonight. Y'all are doing it right. That's not going to happen. This is what Pastor Tom Payne and I laugh about is we have job security. There's never going to come a time where they're going to say, we got it, Pastor. We never need, no, you don't need to preach anymore. So what happens is that people come to the conclusion, you know what? I'm never going to change. I'm still working on the other 97 things that you've preached in the last 3 weeks. Right? I can't even get that together. And so I don't have what it takes, apparently. Or God must hate me. Or as a result of your preaching, you know what? God is punishing me from the past. That's very unhealthy. So, people make bad choices. You may have seen this, and hopefully this is a new convert, not you, but you ever see that? A new convert, you know, he got mad and cussed somebody out on the job. So, because he cussed somebody out, that was a bad choice. So what does he do? He goes and gets drunk. Oh, that was brilliant. That really helped things, didn't it? Right, so that's what people do is they make bad choices when they see no hope. Then some people quit trying to change. What you want is you want to show people the truth, but also give them hope so they'll keep trying to change. People who don't see hope, it's like, what's the use? I'm never going to change. Or then you have people who quit altogether. They backslide or leave the church. So despair is a result of imbalance. Number two, if you are preaching only truth or emphasizing truth all the time, it produces meanness and smallness of heart. There are people that, you know, Pharisees are not just a Jewish issue. Right? Jesus talking about a Pharisee. Well, thank God we've got no Pharisees. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When someone gets a hold of only the rules without grace, those people can become some of the meanest people alive. So, human nature is this. God put within us, when we have guilt, when we feel bad, you have to do something with that guilt. You cannot live with, I know that I'm doing wrong. I know that I don't measure up. That's unhealthy. You have to do something with that. Biblically, isn't this right? Isn't what the Bible said? Is that guilty people... God even had a ceremony, lay your hands on the goat, confess your sins, and send it away. You have to get rid of it. So, what it's meant to be is confession before God, getting right. Repent. That's how you get rid of it. But, there are people, that's not how they get rid of it. What they do is they try to put their guilt on other people. So, they have heard and heard and heard and heard, you're not measuring up, you're not good enough, you're a terrible person, you better change, or the earth's going to swallow you up like Korah. So they can't live like that. They can't. They're not going to keep year after year after year. It's like, yeah, I'm a worm. Thank God, I'm going to church here. I'm a worm tonight. So what they do is they find somebody else and put their guilt on them. What they do is they become hard and demanding. Right? So they live, you know, Rob, what's wrong with you, man? Hey, what's wrong with Robert? Yeah, listen, I went on, you know, one more outreach than he did in the last one. What's wrong with this guy? He's a lousy guy. New converts, or this is what happened, new convert. What? You got saved and you have a t-shirt that advertises beer? I'm going to tell you, pal, you better clean out your closets. So what are they, why do people become like that? Why, you ever see that? They're new convert killers, and thank God there's no one here that's ever killed a new convert. But why is it that they do that in the moment that they are? It's like, you know, let's go through your CD collection, see if there's any foul lyrics there, and you got any posters on the wall that are a little bit rude. Why are people like that? It's because they feel guilty, and it makes them feel good because I have found somebody else who's worse than me. But I'm going to tell you something. They become the meanest people. People who do not feel grace, they become incredibly ungracious in how they treat people. So they delight in telling people off, making demands. And then the third thing is, if it's only truth, then you lose desire to reach out to unworthy people, people who are obviously sinful, people whose lives are a mess, people who have the wrong political beliefs. That's one of the reasons why I do not preach politics, is because I have seen on the lower level what happens to people. They start despising people. One of the things, this is many years ago, I saw people, they began to despise people from Prescott College. Why? Because those foul liberal, they're abortion loving, you know, and because of their politics, we have no heart for them. And many of the people who were despising them used to be that. They used to be called hippies. That's what you were when you got saved, but now you hate them because they vote Democrat. And I said, that's not healthy. That's not a. I don't think that's a good way to live. The fourth thing, of course, if you're preaching grace, which is more rare, I would say, is that if you emphasize grace without truth, then the people you're preaching to, they have no concern for their condition. They don't want to change because they don't feel they need to. Years ago, concert director in Perth got a call from a lady. She had gotten saved, started attending our church, and she said, can I ask you a question? Do you have to change your job when you get saved? And he's like, absolutely not. Pastor Mitchell has been preaching on work. And he's like, no, work is godly, and you know God loves work. And he said, wait a minute, what do you do for work? And she said, I'm a stripper. Well, you do need to change your job. So she left she left the church. She didn't change her job, she changed churches. And then we saw her a while later in a story in the paper about strippers. They did an article about strippers. So she was still a stripper. Long story, but we were asked to do this concert at be a support band for some act at Rhema, which is the big charismatic church in town. So we did, and lo and behold, when this other band was playing, there on the front row, dancing for the Lord, was Sister Stripper, who we knew was still a stripper because we just saw her in the paper. So she's praising the Lord, waving her hands, dancing for Jesus, totally unconcerned that she's a stripper. Why? Because what she's hearing week after week was only the love of God, you're a winner, God wants to make you a success, God wants to make you rich. And she never heard the truth. So she had no desire to change. That is imbalance. So let's talk about strategies for balance. The answer for imbalance is preaching the truth with balance. Okay, John 1:14.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay, so, something that is very, very important, I want you to write this down, and that is, truth must be in tension. T-E-N-S-I-O-N. Truth must be in tension. It must have some tension. Okay, this is very, very true. One of the easiest ways to understand this has to do with gardening or landscaping. So, Corey here is a landscaper, like about half the church. Corey, if you were planting a tree, if you planted a new tree that had some size to it, how would you keep that tree from blowing over?
Stake it on 2 to 3 sides.
Okay, and so you don't stake it on only one side. How come?
It'll still blow over.
Okay, so you understand this, is I have some trees in my yard. I had some trees die, so we planted them, and I'm not the most patient person. I don't want to start with a little thing like this. I want to buy me a big sucker, you know. So when they're planted, they have to be staked, as Corey says, and that means you have to have opposite tension. So, as he says, at least 2 and sometimes 3 sides. So we have a rope, right, or a wire, and sometimes you put hose or rubber around there so you don't damage the tree. And what do? You pull the tree one way, but then you put another stake, another rope, and pull it another way. And when so now you have tension. When they're pulling opposite directions, the tree stays upright. As Corey says, if I only, so think about grace and truth. If I'm only a grace preacher, then you produce unconcerned strippers. Right? If I'm only a truth preacher, you're a worm and what's wrong with you and there's more stuff that you need to be doing, then I produce people who are mean or people who have no hope. So truth has to be pulling in opposite directions. That is what produces balance. So this applies to preaching. So think about some strategies for balance in preaching. And you're going to file this away for one day when you become a preacher. Number one, you're going to have balance. There's balance in personal knowledge. In other words, you need to know your people. You need to know where they're at. Proverbs 27:23.
Be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herd.
Okay. Know your flocks. Know the state of your herd. That's very important. That may be in different ways. Some of you, someday you may take over a church. One of the things you need to know in taking over a church is you have to know what has been put into these people in the past. That becomes very important. Kevin Foley, years ago, took over a church, and this was a famously legalistic church. The pastor was so hard on them that if anybody made a mistake, they used to keep, you know, records of who came to prayer and who was on outreach and everything like that. So these people were so demanding. Anybody made a mistake, it's like, you know, to hell with them. They shouldn't even be saved. They're not fit to live. So in that kind of church, they don't need lots and lots of truth preaching, right? What they're going to need more, they need to be balanced out. That church needs more grace preaching. I've taken over churches to where the previous pastor had no faith whatsoever, told them why it didn't work and why we should move because there's nothing good and blah, blah, blah. So I had to give them lots of faith, right? I took over another church that it was all faith. It's like, yeah, but what they needed was common sense and stewardship. So that's knowing the where they're at. This also may be what churches go through. You have different seasons at times to where you see that the people are beaten down or the church is under assault. Then they need, God's going to help you. It's going to be all right. They need that's seasonal. At another time, all right, now that assault is lifted, now you can press in and get in their face on some issues that need to be. So the balance of personal knowledge, you got to know that. Number two is the balance of the third point. We typically preach in 3 points, you know, the world may stop spinning if you only preach 2. If you preach 4, definitely God's not there, you know. So I mentioned the the Judas scripture, but what's funny is sometimes when I do these work with pastors is sometimes that's how they want to end the sermon. And Judas went and hung himself. Go and do that likewise. You know, that's how they want to end the sermon. It's they want to end it on a total bummer. And that's right, and Saul lost his destiny. God had to replace him, you know. It's like, wow, that's how they want to end it. That's not healthy. So, in the third point, you need to bring some hope. Okay, the Bible speaks about a two-edged sword. You cut, you heal, or you expose. But in the third point, there has to be some hope in order to bring healing. Why it is in your best interest. If you've told them what's wrong with them, what they're not doing right, what they need to do that they're currently not doing, in the third point, tell them why God is going to help them to do that. Why this is in your best interest. Tell them how God is going to bless you. If your story has a bummer ending, and Saul committed suicide, don't leave it with suicide. Tell them it doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to wind up like this. Give examples of people who responded. This is a guy, he had made some mistakes, like you maybe make mistakes, but look, God helped him. That's encouraging. The nature of God. Preaching, by and large, you have to show people who God is. That's what preaching really is all about. If your focus is people, I see you're gossiping, so I'm preaching on gossip. You're lazy in prayer, I'm preaching on prayer. You're not an evangelist, you know. That becomes very difficult to remain balanced. Our job is to show people who God is. Show them the faithfulness of God, mercy of God. Thirdly is the balance of truth intention. Truth must have some tension to it. So what that means is grace and truth sometimes seem to be opposite. They seem to oppose each other. So sometimes you preach entire sermons that seem to be the opposite. Last Sunday morning, I preached and I was preaching and I was poking at the idea that simply because you do right, now God owes you something. And that's unhealthy. Why me? You know, people, that's a common question. I'm in, you know, having a problem. Why not you? So I was poking at that idea that God owes you something because you do right. Wednesday night, I preached what seemed to be the opposite of that. I preached, if you do right, Obadiah said, have you heard that I have fed the prophets? God does bless obedience. So wait, didn't you say Sunday that if you do right, God doesn't bless you? He doesn't have to bless you? Yes. And Wednesday you said, if you do right, God will bless you? Yes. Because they pull against each other. So if all I say is, if you do right, God will bless you, then you get people, wait, I tithe. How can my car get a flat tire? Right? On the other hand, if it's only God owes you nothing, then it's like people who won't believe God. So you preach truth in intention, and that becomes an important issue. So you preach judgment, then you preach patience. The patience of God. He's long-suffering. On the other hand, I'll not always strive with man. Those seem to be opposite. You preach consequences of decisions. And you preach on the mercy and the help of God. Those seem to be opposite, but it's just like a tree. You are giving people the balance. Both are true at the same time. Grace and truth, they're both true at the same time. Fourthly is the balance of timing. You have things that are true, they have to be said at the right time. You can even have people who... they need to hear some things, but probably not now. I counsel people, and there's things that say, yeah, they do need to be doing better, and yeah, they have been messed up, but I know where they're at right now. That's not what I need to say. I say, yeah, you really are a screw-up. They're going to go join Judas, you know. This is not healthy. So there are times it's like all they need is encouragement. Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. Keep on going. Later on, we can talk about what's wrong with you, okay? And that's balance. Paul said, I have things to say to you, but you're not able to bear it. In other words, it's not time right now for me to tell you certain things. Isaiah 50, verse 4.
The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a learned.
Okay, so he says, that I may know how to speak a word. I need to say some things, but not just say some things, he says, in season, at the right time. Something that's true is very helpful, but something that's true at the right time, that's a beautiful thing. And the Bible speaks about the beauty of truth, but that has to do with timing. So, over time, I've been pastoring for many years, I see people healed by different emphasis. I see some people, as you preach on the love of God, the patience of God, it's like, man, that set me free, Pastor. God, help me. Other people, as you preached a butt-kicking sermon in human responsibility, it's like, wow, that's just what I needed. And I've seen people that were helped. You know, one time it may be that the patience and the love of God is what really helped them. Another time it was in your face. That's what helped them. But that comes through balance. And you'll find that, guys, you'll have a very limited ministry if you're an imbalanced man. And that's in preaching. Okay, let's open for some questions. Something I want to ask. David.
So, there might not, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm thinking there may not always be, clear exactly what was emphasized, like, say, you're taking over a church. So, what if you don't know whether the guy that was there was, like, legalistic or, like...
Yeah, it doesn't take long. You'll discover it.
Just the way people are?
Yeah, absolutely. You begin to talk to people, fellowship with people, interact with them. You'll get to hear, right? Churches I've taken over, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, always. So I talk to them. They're, you know, doom and gloom people. It's like a cloud, the cartoon guy with a cloud over their head. It's like, these people need faith. Other people, they're talking about crazy scheme. I'm just going to believe God, you know. And it's like, you don't even have a job. I mean, wouldn't it help if you had a job first before you launch into this world-shaking scheme? You know. So you'll find out quickly. Yep. Somebody else. Neil.
Essentially, it kind of sounds like having an imbalance of preaching can essentially just be rooted back to, you know, it could be more of a reflection of your character then, or something you may be battling then, obviously, if somebody,
sure,
you know, doesn't have a balance between, you know, like you said, at times it's appropriate to preach, you know, the nightclubs down the street, and then other times it's appropriate to preach, you know, the grace of God, mercy of God.
Absolutely.
So, but it sounds like if someone is leaning primarily to one side of, you know, or one tension, it could be, you know, obviously a reflection of something that's going on inside your own heart then.
Yes. That's why pastors need to have a revelation about insecurity, because an insecure pastor often is a very harsh pastor, because he is afraid. So therefore, really, what it becomes is jamming people because you don't want to look bad, or because you have a poor view of God. So that's why you want to deal with rejection issues before you go out in the ministry. That would be helpful. You can deal with it afterwards, but you're probably going to hurt some people along the way. So yes, we definitely preach out of what we are. If a guy preached the love of God and never preached on sin every week, we would start to get worried. It's like, why don't you want to preach on sin?
Yeah.
David?
So if you're emphasizing a particular aspect of God's personality, or, you know, certain type of issues, obviously, like if you're preaching grace to a congregation that's really legalistic, or the opposite, whatever, how often do you preach the opposite truth, or how long do you go?
Yeah, it's not a percentage. It's just simply that you make sure that you are balancing things out. If I recognize, I'm not big on, I don't in my sermon. qualify every statement. I don't say one thing and say, now, I'm not, I don't mean to say. I'm not big on that. That drives me crazy. Either say it or don't say it, you know. Some of you have never heard Jack Hayford preach. That's the way he does. He'll say something good and then he'll, you know, there may be somebody in there that might not believe. So he's, I don't mean to say that. It's like, then don't say it, Jack. So, but if I recognize these people are imbalanced, then I may, you know, I know what they may do with this. So that doesn't mean that you know. So it's not, I can't give you a percentage. Part of that is sensing things in the Holy Spirit. Part of that is recognizing you need to know what you've been preaching, you know, by keeping records. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to do it. So there's not a percentage, but and that may vary from what they need week to week. So, but you just have to be aware of it and be using strategies to deal with it. Somebody else.
Is this established over time as far as, you know, you go out, let's say you go out in pioneering and, you know, you don't know how to have a balance as far as like what to preach, when to preach it? Is it just learned over
Well, time? First of all, Pastor Mitchell teaches, he has a famous saying that in the early days of preaching, it's Band-Aids and happy juice. In other words, you are not going to be preaching to new converts how Judas lost his destiny. And you're in danger of losing your destiny. Is in the early days of new converts, you're preaching even things that are true. You can present it in a positive way, right? I can preach on money. You need to give to God. I can do that two different ways. I can preach, will a man rob God? You're stealing. I don't even think you're going to heaven. You're probably going to burn in hell because you're not tithing, pal. I could preach that way. Or I could preach, you know what, here, can you imagine the goodness of God is when you obey God, the Bible says He pours out, opens the windows of heaven, and He blesses you, right? That's what I'd be emphasizing to new converts. Why this is in your best interest. The blessing of God from doing right. So that's what you're establishing in the early days. Then you start to bring people to grips with faithfulness. You want to be a man of God, destiny, discipleship, takes discipline, you know. But that's on down the road. And then it becomes normal. Definitely early days, you need more grace than truth. And then as you're going along, then you get to where it's normal balance. I've preached several hard sermons or in-your-face sermons in a row. I'm going to preach a blesser. This is all good. There's not one thing going to make you feel bad in this sermon because I'm balancing out my own preaching. Or I'm going to preach the third point. You know, it becomes normal. Or what you sense or feel from God. Somebody else. So in your, let me give you a challenge, is that some of you are learning to get revelation. Look at the revelation that you are getting from Scripture. If you, some of you have, you know, a notebook of thoughts or a number of sermons you've been working on or working on with other guys. Look at them and count up how many of those would be truth sermons, mostly emphasizing what's wrong with you, what you need to do. How many of those would be grace sermons? Do they have balance? That'd be healthy for you to look at. So if you have 10 sermons and all 10 have to do with stuff you're doing wrong, then you may already be developing a tendency. So you need to say, I need to, because we see things based on what we are. And that's important. Probably, you know, we go into that deeper in another time, but what you are determines what you see. So I see guys that are small-hearted or insecure, what they see, it doesn't matter. I can read the exact same passage as them. What do you see in that? They see that God's going to fry them. I look at that, I think, wow, you know, God's going to help us. So anyway, that would be a discipline for you now. Begin to examine what you're getting out of Scripture. Somebody else.
If you're preaching, like you were saying, the sermons that are, they're in tension with one another, if you're preaching it back to back after a sermon, would you maybe let them know, hey, the next sermon I'm going to preach is going to be going to conflict with this one come and just invite them to stir their curiosity to bring them back.
Yeah, you could, you know. Yeah, that was, whatever, you can try. Sure. If not, tell them there'll be tortillas at the door or something. Food. That's always it. I think I'm going to backslide and go to hell. What? There's carne asada on Wednesday? Maybe I'll wait. Okay. Somebody else. So this is a file away for the future, but there are aspects of this you can begin to work on now. Okay. Oh. Yeah.
When you are dealing with new converts, you know, grace, helping them along to make some bad decisions, okay. At what point do you realize, like, I'm about to lose this guy? And you do kind of beg, listen, bud, you run the risk of losing destiny.
Well, that's a cliff moment. Yeah, you know, I mean, the issue is you have to be a man of prayer and there has to be sensitivity. And that's, so the problem is I can't tell you that. I can't say, this is when. Are they saying these words? Oh, no, jam them. You know, it's a sensitivity issue. So that's why working with people is healthy. You're crying out to God on their behalf, asking God to help them. You're praying for sensitivity. And you learn in the process of time. So hopefully you can do that without killing them. So it's not a percentage issue or a keyword issue. It's a sensitivity issue. There, you know, I just feel, I just sense. Remember the story that I said of I had a convert who came to me and asked me point blank, I want to know, is drinking alcohol wrong? But I knew in my spirit this is not what he needed. Well, of course drinking alcohol is wrong. But I knew that he was looking for an excuse as a make or break. And I said, you know what? Is that there's nothing wrong with God's mouth. He'll tell you when it's time to quit drinking booze. Now, there are other people. It's like, listen, this is going to destroy your life. That's got to stop. So that's a sensitivity issue that you have to pray to God. That's part of being a man of God. You got to sense it. And the people who are unsuccessful in life are people who have no sensitivity. And often they jam people incessantly. And the last 100 people didn't make it. And it never occurs to them. Maybe that approach doesn't work so well. Okay. All right, we'll give this out as a lesson. Very good.